Welcome back, everybody. And we always like to have you guys check us out on Facebook. And where, Don?
And thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Don't forget the. And you will find us and all the cool stuff on the website, the interactive map. And all of our guests have links, special guests have links that you can simply click on them. Guest is no different, and you're definitely going to want to do some clicking on that. Matt from Amped Outdoors, he's probably the guru of gurus when it comes to batteries and getting your boat rigged, as well as batteries for just about anything else. But Matt, glad you're joining us. We've been trying to hook up for a couple weeks, and finally we got it done.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad I could make it this time. Much appreciated.
So, Matt, let's jump right into it. I know this is when people start looking at, okay, are my batteries okay? And everybody assumes, well, they were fine when I put it away last fall, and then they find out things aren't as good as they thought they were. What are some of the key things that people should be looking for when they get in their boat out and trying to get ready for that first boating season or boat day on the water?
Yeah, absolutely. The worst case scenario is you do not look at this stuff ahead of time and you go out for your first time and you find it then. It's always easier to find this stuff prior to going out to the first time. So one thing that I would do, you know, in your boats is take a look at all of your batteries. So if you had them stored properly, the previous season, pull them out and check everything over. Look at your connections, make sure there's no corrosion. Go through and, you know, check all of your wiring, make sure there's no cracks, frays, anything like that. Stuff happens during the year that you may not notice, and especially in the off season, depending on how you're storing your products, it, you know, it's good to go over and give everything a little one through and make sure that it's all in tip-top shape. Use that dielectric grease, you know, and all your connections to prevent corrosion. And that's really the best starting point for the season.
Squirrels and mice have a tendency to kind of change your plans when you go out for the first time.
Squirrels, mice, and I've even seen cats.
Ooh, not good.
Yeah. We've kind of seen it all. So check that out. Then, of course, you can't forget, you got to throw a charge on everything. Hopefully you've kept everything on a maintainer. You know, if it's a lead acid battery, you know, off season, but, you know, throw your maintainer on top off your batteries. And one thing you could always do is you can run load tests on them to see if they're still good from the previous year. You can always check voltage. What I like to say, a good charge battery is 12.8 volts or higher. Anything lower than that, you may want to get checked out.
And that's super important, Don. You brought it up, Matt, load charge or load testing. You can have a battery that looks like it says it's fully charged unless you click the starter or at least try and start the engine once or twice. Check the load after that because it'll pull that surface load off. And then who knows, you could have 8-9 volts at that point and you can see the battery is shot or have a bad cell. Great point.
Yeah. And that's important. You don't want to get out to the lake for the first time in a year. I mean, you're literally all jacked up and get out there and turn that key and you hear click, click, click. That's probably the worst feeling you could possibly have.
It is not a good one, but it is entertaining if you're sitting at the launch ramp watching people. I'll tell you that from firsthand experience.
Yeah, that's when that other language comes out of you.
Exactly. It's not a pleasant thing. So what else? Is there anything else that we want to be looking for in that realm when it comes to the batteries in the boat?
Yeah, just making sure you're checking the voltage. I always, you know, say check those connections, make sure that they're tight, you know, not just free of corrosion, but tighten everything up. And don't just do that at the beginning of the season. It's not a bad idea to check that on a regular basis because we're in boats that get, you know, they go through some choppy waters and it's not uncommon for something to become loose. And that's typically when you run into problems. So check those connections regularly. Just make sure everything's tight, secure. And, you know, if you do that and keep everything in good shape, you should be good.
You know, one of the things that has come up a lot in some of the seminars that I've been doing, when we're looking at a series, battery in series, whether it's 24 or 36 volts, if one battery is bad, it will make the whole system go down, right?
Oh, yeah. You're only as good as your worst battery in a system. So, yeah, if you've got one bad battery, I can guarantee that you're gonna have trouble out there. So yeah, definitely want to check them all. Make sure that it's wise if you've got one bad battery, the others are probably going to fail soon. Don't just replace that one battery. If you have to, keep everything equalized. Try to replace everything in a grouping like that all at the same time.
Great point. No, that's a big thing. So let's jump into the technology that goes to lithium. A lot of people are having questions on that aspect. What does lithium do for me? They're more expensive. Well, really, what's the compatibility with the boats and the trolling motors? Is there any issue they have to worry about, or is it pretty much straight across the board? We're all good to go.
Yeah. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, a lot of it is drop-in replacement. And, a lot of people are starting to understand that. I think the last time we're on the show, it's been a little while. There was a little bit of uncertainty out there. Even within the boat, the trolling motor manufacturers, there's some uncertainty. And over time, they've all tested them out. And everything works great as far as the lithium goes. Because, I mean, there are so many advantages. And even, Minn Kota and a lot of other brands just recently have released some articles on all the advantages of going to lithium batteries. And, yeah, there are a ton of advantages to doing that. So, so far, no uncertainties, no issues, nothing like that we have seen.
Oh, awesome. I know that was a big question. I mean, are you going to burn out your trolling motor,
Originally?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I've used them now for a year and absolutely love them.
Oh, same here. It's when you're running them, let's get into it. What's the biggest advantages that you see, Matt, when it comes to lithium for people that are out there, they're fishermen? What do you see as the big pluses?
Yeah. So I get to see a lot of that firsthand, especially when we're doing shows and get to, meet people one-on-one. The first reaction you get and thing that they notice is the weight, right? So you're talking going from a 70-pound battery down to something that's 20 to 30 pounds. It's a huge difference, especially when you're swapping out, two, three, or even four of those in your boat at a time. You're essentially dropping an entire person out of that boat in weight. And that can make a big difference from, not only the handling of the boat, but also top end speed, your whole shot. There are a ton of advantages there in just weight alone.
Yep. And a drier ride because the bow will ride up higher. Most of the batteries are in the front of the boat for most boats. So
right. That's
a big thing. So all those things are important. I think one of the biggest things for me was discharge rates. I mean, I'm able to stay full power so much longer than a regular battery, which gives me a big advantage. So I could run all day long and not have that battery drop hardly at all. And then the charging seems like it comes back that much faster. I mean, factual?
Yep. Oh, absolutely. So with your standard lead acid batteries, the best example I can give is you start off a day, you turn on your motor and your batteries might be at 12.8 volts. By the end of the day, it's just gradually as you're using that motor, your battery voltage will drop. So you'll go from 12.8 and then it steadily drops throughout the day until you get, down into the 11.5. And, if you've got a good AGM battery and you can drain it a lot lower, you can get down into, 10.8 volt range, where with lithium, on the other hand, it's so much different. You start off at 13 volts at the beginning of the day, and by the time, you get out the water at the end of the day, you're still sitting at 13 volts on that battery. So,
just
means that if you have that at a specific speed, it's going to stay at that speed all day long and give you, nonstop high-quality performance all day.
That's awesome. So we had talked at the boat show this year and our sports show, and we were talking about one of the new things that you had that I thought was kind of interesting as far as the battery technology. Fill us in on what that was. I need to refresh my brain on that. We were talking battery, new sizes, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So instead of your traditional thinking of linking batteries up together in series, so taking two or three 12-volt batteries, putting them together in series, we've come out with a lineup of dedicated 24 and 36 volt batteries, so you can not only eliminate a lot of weight, but you can eliminate a lot of space by pulling three batteries out of your boat and just putting one back in a lithium and saving space for extra stuff or even adding extra batteries for more capacity, you know, throughout the day.
Which is nice because of the amount of draw people are putting within their battery in their boats per se, with, let's say, a 15-inch graph, two 15-inch graphs or three 15-inch graphs, maybe even four 15-inch graphs, like last week we were talking with Bill Shimoda. And it gets to be a point where you've got to have a separate cell just for that, dedicated. And normally you don't have enough space, Don. I mean, it's one of those things.
In the case Bill was talking about, you had a boat that had nine graphs on it. I'm not sure where you find room for the graphs and enough batteries to run it.
Pull one passenger out.
Yes.
So that's way cool. I really like that idea, and I know you've had something like that in the past, but this sounds like it's going to be fitting in compartments in different boats. It cuts down on or gives you more space, which is a big thing, because premium is space. I mean, you don't have – you buy a bigger boat, what happens, Don?
You get more stuff, yeah. Right.
So that's a big thing, especially with boats that have power steering and all those other pieces and parts. So that's awesome. Anything else going on with the old Amped Outdoors? I know you got a ton of stuff for ice fishing and that kind of thing, but what else is going on? You guys doing some expansion, I understand, too.
Oh, yeah, we've done a lot of expansion. So we brought on a lot of new products. So you talked about that person has nine graphs in a boat. I don't know if I've seen that yet, but I've seen some pretty big power draws in my time. And, we've really listened to our consumers, and then a lot of them, you know, the largest battery we had in the past is a 100 amp hour battery, which is still 30% better than most AGM batteries out there. But last year, we released a 160 amp hour battery. That's a group size 31. It literally gives you twice the capacity of two group size 31 batteries in, you know, one small form factor 38 pound battery. So that's been popular for powering fishing electronics. People have been using that in, you know, kayaks offshore, and it just seems to be an endless power supply for a lot of people. So
that's awesome.
You know, that's been a big release on top of, you know, the 24 volt batteries and the 36 volt dedicated batteries that we're well known for.
Well, Matt, wealth of knowledge as always. Yeah. We certainly appreciate you coming on, and we will have a link for you. And
perfect.
Right on our website.
Yeah.
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Click on it.
Amped
Matt
Outdoors,
will get you there.
Click on it.
He'll get you there, and that'll be great. Matt, thanks again, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate
you bet.
It.
Have a great one. Yep. And we'll be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Always love chatting with Matt.
Yes.
He's a
wealth of knowledge. Yep.
And just a super nice guy besides. So, yeah, definitely check out Amped Outdoors. Those guys have a lot of batteries down there that are from you name it, where, when, and whatever technique you want to use. So a lot of cool stuff. Let's jump right into it. Tease this at the top of the show. And it's the America's oldest national park ranger at 100 years old is just retiring. You and I talked about it off air a little bit, Don. And you kind of can't fathom that aspect of it. But the America's oldest national park ranger has retired after 16 years of service. And Betty Suskin recently stepped down at her post at the Rosie the Riveter World War II Homefront National Historical Park in Richmond, California, part of the National Park Service. She first became involved with the NPS when she participated in scope meetings with the city of Richmond for development of the Rosie the Riveter Homefront. That was before the park got its name and historical designation back in 2000. She lived through World War II, and she worked with the National Park Service to secure a grant that was funded by PG&E and the creation of various educational exhibitions and lives and Black Americans who lived during that period of American history. Kind of cool.
How old was she when she started this?
After years of serving as a consultant for Rosie the Riveter Homefront, she officially joined the NPS team as a temporary park ranger at 84.
Yeah, I'm not looking for a job if I get to 84.
And she loves it. She absolutely loved it. 5 years after she started, she became a permanent park ranger, and she led programs and shared firsthand memories and observations at the park center. She said it's been incredible to serve as an influence for the future with footprints and other people can follow. So, yeah, pretty cool. And she retired on March 31st, spent her last day hosting an interpretive guided walk.
Good for her.
Is that not the best thing
ever? It'd be wonderful to be able to do that, or just to be able to do that at 100. Getting to 100 is amazing.
Getting to 100? hey, quick story. Minnesota moose numbers are on the rise. And what really has happened right now, since 2005, calf ratios are higher. But Minnesota findings show encouraging numbers. They're at their highest total since 2011. So that's big. We had talked, and I talked to you about this off air.
Yep.
We had talked about this, and one of the odd things about it was we'd seen declines in the moose, and they're trying to figure out what was going on. And now we're seeing that they had just a study that got done, and just the opposite. So that's bonus.
That's great. I told you why that was increasing, didn't I?
Go ahead, tell me.
I told you off air.
Yeah. What was it again, Don?
They had more little moose.
Speaking of having more little mooses.
Yes.
Guess who's I'm not going to say they're mooses. Congratulations to our producer.
Thank you.
She has just announced that she's going to be having babies, two of them, and that is so awesome.
Two at once.
Two at one time.
Yep.
That sounds like a chore to me.
Some Minnesota twins coming
you
at
are,
you.
Oh, got to love that. Well played. Well played. And we are well played. We're out of here. Don, Eric, and Ava, we are done. Hope you guys join us next week. See ya.